I'm so thankful just to serve God who has stood the test of time. I am thankful. He's convinced me just in my lifetime, but he's also convinced me from all the things he's done, all the testimonies I have of him, of his word in my life. I'm thankful. So let's look to the Lord in prayer here. Dear God, as we open your word, we always want to pause. And we want to confess that this is your word and that is your spirit that knows how to deliver it to us in the way that we need it. So God, please have mercy on us. And by your spirit, would you deliver your word this morning? Also, Lord, we need you. It said you would write it on the table of our heart. We don't have that ability, Lord. We can open up and receive, but we know your spirit can actually write it on our hearts. So we pray that you would do that this morning, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to talk today about storing up treasures in heaven. So, you know, do you ever have thoughts about maybe you open up the word and you start reading something and you're like, well, you battle these feelings of, I've read this before. You know, I believe it's so important to talk with each other and to pull back the veil on Satan just a little bit. You know, that's directly from Satan. Jesus spent 3 years here on earth, and he took his time saying things that were so deep and so important for us to get a hold of that honestly, we could take some of them the rest of our lives and never mind the depths of what God has for us. And this morning, as God was bringing, y'all, I read and pray through the week, and I've learned to give my time to God and then to let him come with what he wants to say to us this morning. And so I put it back on him and said, Lord, now show me. So this morning as I was sitting there and I was praying and I'd walked around a little bit and the Lord began to bring these thoughts to my mind, I will confess that Satan was there with, you know what, you've talked about this before. But you know what, I said, Lord, you just tell me what you want to share. And I feel like the Lord has something for us in this to bring home a little more to us this morning. With the help of the Lord, we desire to do that. So let's look in Matthew, the 6th chapter, and the 19th verse. And this section of this chapter from the 19th down through pretty much the end of the chapter, yes, through the end of the chapter, deals with a common theme that we talk about and we want to encourage each other in, and that there's something besides this world that we need to be focused on, basically. That's what the message of this is. And so you'll see that as you look through all the verses. But in the middle of it, there seems to be a little, maybe a couple of verses that you're like, did they move these? Or, you know, were these supposed to be right here? Let me point them out to you. It's not really the focus, but I want to emphasize them and talk about them just a little bit to bring home the importance of what we're talking about this morning. In the middle of these verses about having our eyes on something besides this world and making, in other words, heaven our focus and the things of heaven our focus, he says, 22nd verse, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, if you're focused, if you've got one thing that you're looking at, if thy eye be single, therefore thy body, whole body, shall be full of light. But if thy eye be evil, in other words, if your eye is not really focused completely on God, but you're trying to look at two things at once, so to speak, if your eye is not, you know, there's conditions with our eyes where they won't both focus on one thing, right? And there's nothing evil about that. But that's an example of what God's talking about unspiritually. If you're not focused with both eyes on the Lord, you kind of keeping an eye over here on this thing as well. I actually had a student a while back that showed me an incredible trick. I don't know how she does it, but she could make her eyes go to the middle and then take one eye and move it back and forth like this. And you're not looking at the same thing. All right. That's what this verse is kind of pointing to this morning. All right. And if that's the case, then the whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee, you're taking in some light, but you're trying to mix it with two different things. You're not wholly focused on one thing. And if the light that is in you be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is your darkness? How great? And we don't have another spot where Jesus spoke like this that I'm aware of in the Bible. This particular statement is given to this section of scriptures. It's found right in the middle of storing up treasures in heaven, not letting this world get us turned aside where we're looking at two different things at once. All right? And I think it's very applicable. I think it was the point behind what Christ was saying. So what we're talking about this morning is very important, to keep ourselves in the light and to avoid a great darkness in our lives. Okay? So it says, 19th verse, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. All right, so Christ this morning, it's not humorous to me, but when people try to say, well, he's a hard taskmaster, or he sure is rough on us sometimes, you know, those kind of ideas, maybe he's not exactly in those words. Well, I guess based a lot of times somebody has had experiences. Those were experiences with people, not God. Okay. This is who Christ is this morning. This is his purpose in coming to us and talking to us. All right. He says, look, now you can go out from here and you can make the focus of your life storing up earthly treasures. And you're susceptible to all those things being taken, stolen, overcome, lose their value. You're subject to numerous ways that treasure can disappear in your life. And then there's also limitations to what it can do for you. Or you can listen to what I'm offering to you, so to speak, is what I see Christ saying. Now, that's pretty neat that this guy is saying, look, it's your choice. But I've got something that you can put your focus on. And what does it say about it? It says, first of all, he said, where moth and rust doth corrupt, nor thieves break through and steal. That's the treasures on earth. But he said, but I've got another option for you. Lay up your treasures in heaven. Well, he told me I had to get... No, he just said, you've got this choice. What do you want to mean more to you in life? Do you want the things of this world to be what matter to you and what govern your decisions? Or do you want the things of heaven, of eternity, to govern your decision? What do you want? Well, he made me do... No, he didn't make you do anything. He offered to you something this morning, and he's offering to us this morning. What do you want? Is this what you want, the things of this world and the reward that it has for you? Well, I mean, it's your choice. But if you want what the Lord has to offer, there's the opportunity there for you to have that as well. That's what Christ is saying to you this morning. And he says, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. In other words, you know, I'm giving my heart to the Lord, but what matters is the things of this earth, and they're what's governing my decisions and the way I act, and whether I'm having a good day or a bad day, whether I'm feeling this way or that. I'm not saying we don't have to give some feelings to the Lord, but what are we giving ourselves to? What is it that's governing our lives and making decisions for us? Because one is or the other. Well, my heart is with the Lord. I just have to take care of this. I mean, Don't misunderstand me. There's things the Lord says, well, yeah, you got to be responsible. He says, do your work as unto the Lord. All right, well, then do it as unto the Lord. There's a way to do this life and to live it and not let it be what makes my decisions. I can live this life. I can walk out in the world, be a faithful worker who is moved up through the ranks, so to speak, because of the way I'm faithful to my job. You do it as unto the Lord. There's some people going to like that around you. All right? They're going to like the results of that. Now, you may come against some walls where there's some things you can't do. You got to put that in the Lord's hands. What controls you this morning? Where are your treasures? So the Lord's saying, you can have these eternal treasures that nobody can steal from you. There, you know, when I go to work and a raise comes along or a bonus comes along or something comes because of my work there, that makes me happy. I like that. But it's not the same as what God gives to me. It's an example. When I put my treasures in the Lord's hands, His bonuses that come along, y'all, it doesn't compare. I mean, there's some things here, but the things, and I guess I'm struggling right here. I hope you know what I'm talking about. People are like, well, did you get this thing? No, I don't have anything else in this life right now, but I got something. I feel like my feet are just strong underneath me somehow right now. I don't know how else to say it. I feel like my heart is just strengthened. I feel ready. I'm happy. Well, are things working out well? Well, actually, they're not working out too good over here in the eyes of the Lord world. But you know, the Lord's given me something that means more than that. And I don't know how to describe it to you except to say that. And there are blessings that come from choosing the Lord and putting, it's joy unspeakable. That's a good way to put it. Joy unspeakable this morning. So my point in saying this, I hope you know how good it is to make the Lord first in your life. And when I say first, I don't mean Him and this too, because that's not making the Lord first. You don't mix masters. And that's some of what it said here. No man can serve two masters. For you will hate the one. One of them's controlling life. You're not serving two. All right? And so I want somehow to share how good it is, because I want us, and the Lord wants us to know, let's lay up treasures in heaven. This is what matters. This is what's worth something. All right? So how do we do that? Well, the Lord told us, because it can seem so abstract. It really can. We can talk about it. Lay up treasures in heaven. And like, okay, well, I guess I walk around thinking about God all the time. Well, I mean, that could help. but it's more concrete than that, y'all. There's choices to be made daily. Things we face, decisions we face, that in making those choices, we lay up treasures in heaven. And the Bible tells us we do. All right? And I know there's more than I have this morning. Like I said, I wanted, once the Lord got this going, I was like, well, and I felt like He said, just these. And so we're going to just share what God has given us, but it's all through the Bible. Great is your reward. What is that? That just, so many times, that's just words to us. We don't realize God's saying, here's your treasure. You just laid up treasures by this action in your life. Great is your reward. There's a reward for you because of the choice you made. Well, but I'll get a bonus at work if I do this. Okay, which one do you want? There's no way, if we can really get a hold of this picture right, we realize the thing that needs to govern our life, that we want to govern our life, is the Lord's rewards. It's what He's saying, go this way. Lay up these treasures, because it means more in our lives. Satisfaction, joy, happiness, joy unspeakable, as was said. So let's look at some things here. Matthew still, turn over here in the fifth chapter. And we're obviously, let's just read what it says here. Some very concrete things that we can do that lay up treasures for us in heaven. Matthew 5:44. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. All right. Why? It says, 46th verse, for if you love them which love you, what reward have ye? The Lord's saying here, and I know how this verse comes sometimes. We're like, okay, so I've got to go and do this because the Lord told me to do this. So if I want to be a Christian, that's what I got to do. Well, what the Lord's really saying here is I've got a reward for you. I've got a bonus. I've got something I want to hand to you. But I don't hand it to you just because you're nice to people that are nice to you. I mean, that's great. We should be nice to people who are nice to us. Don't misunderstand. We should treasure them. It says, do good to them, especially who are of the house of the Lord. Or house of, I don't have that quite right, but the people of God. Especially those people. But he said, there's a special reward. I have a special bonus. Just like at work when they have special bonuses for different things. Well, you can be a really good worker, and that's great. And you'll probably, there's some rewards for that. But this special reward is for this thing specifically. So if you want it, you do that thing. And so the Lord's saying here, that's nice. Be nice to people who are nice to you. But when you love the people who aren't, who are working against you in life, when you, instead of giving into the antagonism and the way the world works and putting up walls and having this antagonistic spirit, when you let that be broken in you and take what the Lord offers where you can actually bless somebody who curses you, and when you can do good to them that hate you, and when you can pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, then there's a reward for you. This is called laying up treasures in heaven. This is where it happens, all right? It's in these moments, okay? And so in this chapter, before this, we have the Beatitudes. And we're not going to go through all of them, but the Beatitudes tell us how to lay up treasures in heaven. They're an easy go-to. And there's, like I said, there's a lot more in the Bible, a lot of places you can find things. And I encourage you to do that. Look this week, look for where it says, great is your reward. Verses like that, where it says that. And take that in as the Lord saying, here's the specific thing you can do if you really want to lay treasures up in heaven. This is what you can do. So it says, blessed are they, sixth verse, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. So I said this is concrete. And I want it as concrete as it can possibly be this morning, because this is how I feel like the Lord wants it to come to us. So I have a promise most of you don't know about right now. I've been given a promise. And this afternoon, I don't know how many people eat at Yellow Jacket, but in my opinion, they have one of the best burgers that you can eat anywhere. I love it. So I have a promise. And you know what? This actually is the first time in service I've ever thought about it. And that's the way it should be. But I'm bringing it out for a point. All right? I enjoy that burger. And the thing I've learned about myself in life, and I believe this is common to humans, if there's something I enjoy, that I can allow it to dominate my thinking. That's what the Lord's talking about here, hungering and thirsting. All right? When it becomes, I'm like, I can't wait to get that burger. Well, Brandon, did you do this? Oh, I totally forgot. I was thinking about this burger that I'm waiting on to get this afternoon. Did you remember to do this? Brandon, it's time for you to stand up and take prayer requests. Oh, I'm so sorry. I was thinking about the burger that I'm going to get this afternoon. Well, my mind is not where it's hunger and thirsting after a burger, right? I mean, that's the bare facts. Okay, so what do I do? I mean, you can apply that to things in your life. I mean, there's a lot of things we like. There's nothing wrong with the burger. I'm going to enjoy it this afternoon. I'll enjoy it. There's other things. There's nothing wrong with that we enjoy doing. Those are the things where we're making a decision about if we're going to lay up treasures in heaven or not. Is there something in this world that I enjoy so much that I'm passing over my time with God? I'm passing over things I should be doing because that's what I'm hungering, thirsting after. Or is there a motivation in my life that's like, Lord, I want to be more like you. I don't want anything to get in the way of that. That's a treasure in my life. And there are rewards for living our life that way. For people say, well, why don't you do this? Why don't you care about this thing? You know, nothing against anybody this morning, but people at work will have told me before, you know, they'll say, well, whose team are you on? You know, whose team, who do you pull for? I'm like, well, I mean, if you've got to assign me, just, you know, I'll say something. Like, you know, it really doesn't seem to matter to you. I'm like, no, I said, I can talk about it. I can laugh about it. I can joke about it. But it doesn't mean that's not what I'm hungering after this morning. There was a time in my life that I did, that it controlled my actions, the things, how I felt for a week. But it's not what I hunger after. You know, I want the Lord. I want to be more like Him. That's what matters in my life. In every situation, Lord, help me to remember to allow You to teach me more about You in this thing. And I want to hunger and thirst after righteousness. It says in the next one, it says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. You know, one thing some things, I'll tell you this too. I think sometimes the Lord gives us messages like this because we forget all the things we're doing to be what we're supposed to be in the Lord. And we can get almost discouraged in ourselves. And the devil can say, you're not doing anything. You're just living life. Well, you know, here's one for you. Do you like to see people get their just deserves? Or do you hope for mercy for them? Do you know how many times as a Christian, I don't even realize I'm doing it, but the Lord's worked to a point where I'm like, I'm hoping that God, that they can have mercy in their life. I know there's judgment. And it's part of why I want to see mercy happen. But you know, that's a decision we make to lay up a treasure in heaven when we're not looking at somebody in a situation and hoping they really get it. But we're hoping that they're saved, that somehow the mercy of the Lord comes through in their life, that they get a hold of His mercy and how He's able to work for them. You know, when you exhibit that kind of mercy in your life, you're laying up treasures in heaven. This is concrete. These are the actions we take to do this. And if you're struggling with that, realize there's a reward for it. There's a reward for not sitting there going, I hope they get what they got coming to them. In any way. Sometimes we mute it down a little bit. Well, I hope they get a little bit of what they got coming to them. That's not mercy. That's not how God extended mercy to us. Lord, please have mercy on them. Think about Stephen. Think about Jesus. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. God, have mercy on them. Lord, help me. I want that kind of heart. Because I want it because I realize the freedom it gives me and the blessing is my life. But I also realize that the Lord's, there's treasures for that. There's rewards for that. Blessed are they. All right? Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. All right? Pure in heart. What's your motivation this morning? And it kind of goes a little bit, these things start blending together, but I'm here. When I open up my Bible, you know what I want? I want to know more about the Lord. Now, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm saying that to tell you that I've opened my Bible and struggled with my motivations. But I've learned the way God wants me to be is just want to be more like Him. That my motivations aren't wrapped up in trying to, in anything besides being what I'm supposed to be. Lord, I'm opening my Bible so that I can be what I'm supposed to be. I want to be more like You. You know, that takes some diligence. It's not natural to us, even as Christians. There can be so many other reasons. It can be just an obligation. It can be so many other things. And I don't want to knock anything, but trying to get the picture of what it takes to really have a pure heart. And there's a reward for that in our lives. Why am I going out and living my life the way I live it every day when I'm around other people? What is my motivation? What is my heart? You know, the Lord came down on a lot of people who had a lot of motivations for trying to present a righteous image and a holy image. So sometimes they get so foreign. The more you love the Lord and more you serve, you see why we really do this, the more it becomes almost foreign to you and you forget. But there are a lot of motivations why people do that. Treasure being pure in heart before the Lord. Treasure your motivations being just simply to serve Him and to please Him, whatever else may come. You know, it says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. You know what? There's a verse in the Bible in James that we talk about a lot where it says, the wisdom that is from above is first pure. We can't change. I mean, if we change how we live our lives, well, are we hungry and thirsting after righteousness anymore? We can't change what God has told us to do. But does it make us not able to promote peace? It should enable us to promote peace. And the Lord said, think not that I've come to bring peace to the world. I've come to bring a sword. Understand all that. There's a delineation for truth. And there is no peace without truth. It says to the wicked, there is no peace. But once that line is there, what am I doing? How am I living my life? Am I promoting peace with others? Am I pure and holy and the line's been cut and now I can be just as rough around the edges as I want to be because I'm not sinning? Or am I looking for the Lord to help me live my life in a way that it makes it easy to be around me? It makes it easy to hear the truth. People still have to, if they're going to be around my life, they're going to hear the truth. But I don't want anything else in the way. I want them because I don't want it there. I want them to come as close to the truth as possible, but then I want them to see where the lines really are. I don't want them thinking it's out here somewhere and somehow if they can cross a little bit over that line that they're where they need to be. I want them to see the truth for what it is. And that's part of why this verse here in our life, does our life promote peace? Does it promote the ability for people to interact with us as easily as possible? There's a treasure in that. That's not easy. That takes something a little extra than just living free from sin. It takes us a little, you know, I say that because it'll help you much more, all right? But it takes something extra. It takes pushing to really be everything that God wants us to be. There's a reward for that in life. There's a reward that God has for you. It says in a, we'll get down there and we get in some verses that are like what we've read. It says, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Then it says, blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. What am I supposed to do with that? Injustices. Oh, that's, the world is screaming about injustices. And I mean, injustices are not nice. They really shouldn't be injustices in the world today. But what does the Lord tell us to do about them when injustice comes along? It says, rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. When I live my life, and it goes on to say, we'll say this here, for so persecuted they the prophets that were before you. There's people who live for God that experience the same thing. That's what that verse just said. All right. In another place, Peter says, when I suffer as a Christian, when I suffer for just being a loving, merciful, kind, long-suffering, all the things that God has called me to be that are part of laying up treasures in heaven, when I suffer for that, what am I supposed to do with that? Am I supposed to run and holler in the streets and scream and demand justice from earthly kingdoms? Or Am I supposed to do what he's told me? You have a choice. You can take the treasures the world has to offer and go and holler and scream this in the streets and demand justice from our earthly kingdom. Or you can choose. Commit yourself unto the Lord. I know who I'm have believing, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. What are you wanting to do? What are you willing to do? What does it say? Joshua says, for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I can tell you what reward I want. I want the one the Lord has to offer. Because he said in other places, he said, you already have your reward. So what it tells me is, I don't get both of them. I don't get to take this world and demand, you know, what I see I've got coming out of this world and get God's reward as well. If I want the reward of the Lord, then I've got to look at the concrete instructions that he's given me in the Bible that tell me how to do that. You pray for me.